Welcome to the deep dive. We're going on a cinematic journey today with Bob,
Oh, yeah.
a true movie buff.
Sounds fine.
An ultimate movie rankings Hall of Famer.
Okay.
You sent us this amazing interview with him, and
wow.
I'm really excited to dive into it with you. See
yeah.
what kind of
cinematic gems we can honor.
Yeah, his cinematic DNA.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Exactly.
I think what fascinates me is how Bob's story might like mirror
okay.
bigger shifts in film itself.
Yeah, interesting.
You know how his
yeah.
tastes developed,
mm-hmm.
how they evolved over time.
Yeah.
What do his choices tell us
oh.
about like his connection with the art form
yeah.
as a whole?
All right, let's start at the very beginning.
Okay.
Bob's first movie memory.
Okay.
It takes us all the way back to 1949.
Wow.
He was just 8 years old.
8 years old.
Yeah, and this giant gorilla named Mighty Joe Young
okay.
was about to make a lasting impression.
All right. So it wasn't just the spectacle that,
yeah.
that got him.
Right.
Seeing Terry Moore and Ben Johnson's names on the marquee
yeah.
sparked this fascination with actors.
Interesting.
Like those figures on the screen
yeah.
are real people.
Right.
With lives and personalities
yeah.
beyond those characters.
It's like the magic of cinema just expanded
right.
beyond the screen for him right at that point.
Yeah.
It made him realize like, oh, these are people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like making movies.
Yeah.
It's a job.
Yeah. Did that plant a seed for his future passion, do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so, for sure.
Okay.
These early influences like really shaped
yeah.
his cinematic world.
Right.
You know, his dad took him to Sleep, My Love with Claudette Colbert.
Oh, wow.
Which is a film noir thriller.
Yeah.
Maybe a little unusual for a young boy.
Yeah, a little dark.
And then the matinees
mm-hmm.
with his aunts.
Okay, yeah.
Introduced him to, like, classic Hollywood stars.
Oh, cool.
Uri Cooper in The Plainsman.
Wow.
Errol Flynn in Kim.
It's like a glimpse into the golden age of Hollywood
right
through Bob's eyes.
Yeah.
I'm picturing those grand old movie palaces.
Yeah.
The anticipation in the air.
Totally.
All those people being transported to another world.
Absolutely.
I love it.
And speaking of transportation.
Yes.
Bob's childhood cinema.
Oh, yeah.
The Pathway.
This is adorable.
So he transformed this toy garage.
Okay.
Into his own, like, mini movie theater.
Wow.
Complete with, like, tiny posters.
That's so cute.
For all the new releases.
I love it.
Yeah.
It speaks to the power of imagination, right?
Absolutely.
Not just to watch films,
yeah.
but to like recreate that whole experience.
Yeah.
It's like he was a curator.
Right.
At like what, 8, 9, 10 years old?
Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So let's look at some of the films that really captured young Bobby's heart,
okay.
as you might expect.
Uh-huh.
Westerns figure very heavily.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
So we see classics like Where the River Bends.
Okay.
The Far Country. Both starring James Stewart
okay.
and Alan Ladd in the iconic Shane.
It's a good one.
Right.
But there's a surprising mix of genres in there, too.
Yeah.
Joan Crawford in Sudden Fear.
Oh, wow.
The film noir thriller.
Okay.
Richard Widmark in Down to the Sea and Ships. That's a good one.
yeah.
Rory Calhoun in
wow.
Dawn at Socorro. A Bustern.
Okay.
So he was open to exploring a variety of cinematic landscapes.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And this eclectic mix
yeah.
speaks to a broader trend
okay.
in the film industry at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like the studio system was thriving.
Yeah.
Churning out all these different types of films
Uh-oh.
To cater to everybody.
Yeah.
It was a golden age of genre filmmaking.
It really was.
And Bob seems to have like embraced it fully.
He did. Yeah. It's interesting, though, he mentions Calamity Jane with Doris Day
oh.
as a film that, like, didn't hold up over time.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It's something we see happen again
yeah.
and again
yeah.
in film history.
Right.
Tastes change.
Yeah.
Cultural norms shift.
Right.
What might have been considered groundbreaking.
Right.
Okay. And can feel dated.
Yeah.
Or even, like, problematic now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a film becomes a time capsule, right?
It does.
It captures the sensibilities and
yeah.
perspectives of that era.
Right.
Yeah. Let's move on to another fascinating aspect of Bob's cinematic journey.
Yeah.
This deep appreciation for certain actors.
Okay.
He mentions Marlon Brando.
Uh-huh.
Gregory Peck.
Yeah.
John Wayne.
Okay.
And then Deanna Durbin.
Interesting.
Deanna Durbin was a Hollywood star from the 30s and 40s.
Oh, okay.
Best known for her musicals and lighthearted comedies.
Okay.
It's so interesting to see such a range.
Yeah, it is.
Of acting styles represented. Yeah.
And his favorites?
Yeah. It suggests that Bob is drawn to like a certain authenticity in performance, regardless of the genre or era.
Okay.
He seems to appreciate actors.
Yeah.
Who bring depth and nuance and a sense of realism to their roles.
Oh, okay. Right? And yet he also mentions Myrna Loy, an actress known for like her sophisticated and glamorous roles.
Yeah.
And he has mixed feelings about her.
Interesting.
He admires her personal qualities.
Okay.
But her films don't necessarily resonate.
So this raises a question.
Yeah.
Can we or should we separate the art from the artist?
Right.
Right. It's a very complex issue.
It is.
And it's something we're going to continue to explore as we dig deeper into Bob's cinematic world.
It's a reminder that our relationship with film is so multifaceted, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about the stories on screen, but also about the people who bring those stories to life.
And the context in which they were created.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm particularly intrigued by Bob's thoughts
on
three specific stars.
Yeah.
Cary Grant.
Okay.
Doris Day.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Caine.
All right.
He seems to have a particular fondness for them, but it's not without its complexities. Let's unpack that.
Okay.
What stirred out to you about Bob's perspective on these Hollywood icons?
Yeah. Well, with Cary Grant, it's interesting. Bob admits he doesn't really enjoy Grant's earlier work.
Yeah.
Particularly those screwball comedies.
Okay.
From the 30s, like Bringing Up Baby.
Okay.
They just don't appeal to him.
Right. Yeah.
But he does acknowledge Grant's incredible talent and his ability to like transition between comedic and dramatic roles later in his career.
Yeah, he had range.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a reminder that even the most celebrated actors don't always resonate with every viewer.
Right.
And that tastes can evolve over time, even within an actor's filmography.
Totally.
And then we have Doris Day.
Yeah.
America's Sweetheart.
Okay.
Bob seems to have a particular fondness for her early musicals.
Yeah.
And her first two romantic comedies.
Okay.
With Rock Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
Pillow Talk.
Classic.
Lover Come Back.
Yeah.
These films really cemented her image.
They did.
As that charming girl next door.
Right.
They were box office hits.
Huge.
But their third film together.
Yeah.
Send Me No Flowers.
Okay.
Didn't quite capture that same magic.
Interesting.
According to Bob.
Yeah, sometimes that formula,
even
a successful one, can lose its freshness.
It can.
Right?
That does happen.
Yeah, and it speaks to that challenge that actors and filmmakers face, like consistently delivering, engaging in innovative content.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes that magic just isn't there.
Right.
Even with a proven pairing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Now with Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Bob really highlights his preference for the everyman spy.
Okay.
Harry Palmer.
Yeah.
Over, like, the suave James Bond.
Yeah.
He even mentions this rather colorful line.
Okay.
From Caine's film.
Okay.
Educating Rita.
I remember this. Yeah.
I'm going to bray the bursar.
Yeah.
Which gives you a sense of, like, the humor that Bob appreciates.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So he's drawn to characters like Harry Palmer.
Yeah.
Who are grounded and relatable, maybe even a bit rough around the edges.
Yeah.
Which... interesting, because it contrasts with his admiration for those classic Hollywood stars, Cary Grant and Gregory Peck, who embodies this like elegance and sophistication.
Yeah, it's that juxtaposition that makes his taste so interesting.
Right.
He appreciates both the polished and the raw,
the
aspirational and the everyday.
I like it.
Yeah.
Before we dive into Bob's list of all-time favorites, there's this charming anecdote about Doris Day and Cary Grant on the set of That Touch of Mink.
Yeah.
I think it sheds a little light on Bob's fascination with like the golden age of Hollywood. This story is a gem.
Yeah.
It captures that behind-the-scenes Hollywood glamour that so many of us are drawn to.
It does.
So Doris tells Cary that Jimmy Cagney is her all-time favorite movie star.
Oh, wow.
And that she hopes he doesn't mind being like her second favorite.
Right.
And Cary, ever the charmer, assures her that he doesn't mind at all.
Oh, that's great.
It's so sweet and humanizing.
It is, right.
It reminds us that even these larger-than-life figures had their own cinematic idol.
Right.
And that those idols were often like the rough-and-tumble actors.
Yeah.
Like a Cagney.
Right.
Who brought this gritty realism to their roles.
Yeah, it's almost as if that story subtly foreshadows Bob's own preference for those grounded, relatable characters.
Right.
Like Michael Caine's Harry Palmer.
Yeah, I see that.
Right.
Are you ready for the main event?
Hit me with it.
Bob's list of all-time favorite films
is
a real roller coaster ride through cinematic history.
All right.
And spans a variety of genres.
Okay. I'm eager to see how these choices fit into like the puzzle we're building.
Right.
Of Bob's cinematic DNA.
Of his cinematic DNA.
Yeah.
Well, we've got the classics.
Okay.
The Godfather.
Clash.
Which redefined the gangster genre.
Right.
12 Angry Men.
Yeah.
A masterclass in character development and dialogue-driven drama, and Hitchcock's suspenseful masterpiece.
Oh, yeah.
Rear Window.
Okay.
Solid choices.
Yeah. These films are considered cornerstones of cinema for a reason.
For a reason.
They've endured for decades.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And continue to be studied and analyzed for their artistry and cultural impact.
And naturally, given his lifelong love of Westerns.
Of course.
We see where the river bends, the far country, and Shane making the list.
Right.
It's fascinating to see how those early influences
continue
to hold a special place in his heart.
Yeah, it speaks to the power of those early cinematic experiences to shape our lifelong tastes and preferences. We often carry those films with us.
We do.
Right. Yeah. Return to them time and time again for comfort or inspiration or just a nostalgic reminder of a bygone era.
Right. But then things get really interesting.
Okay.
He throws in Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse.
Oh, wow.
A film that's not typically found on all-time favorite lists.
Right.
Here we see like the personal connection trumping critical acclaim.
And love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds us
that
our relationship with film is so subjective.
So subjective.
Right.
Yeah.
What might be considered a cult classic.
Right.
Or even a guilty pleasure.
Right.
Can have like genuine artistic merit.
Yeah.
And emotional resonance for somebody else.
Yeah. It's about finding those films.
It is.
That speak to you on a personal level.
Totally.
Regardless of what the critics say.
Yeah. And it also speaks to like Bob's ability to appreciate films across a spectrum of quality and taste.
Yeah.
Right. He's not a film snob.
Not at all.
Yeah. There's room for all kinds of cinematic experiences, from the highbrow to the lowbrow and everything in between.
Right.
Embracing that range speaks to like a greater appreciation of the art form in itself.
Yeah, for sure.
So alongside those already mentioned, Bob's list includes Shawshank Redemption, The Ypcress File, The Natural, Magnificent Obsession.
Okay.
Quite the eclectic list.
It is.
We've got everything from prison dramas to spy thrillers.
All over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop there.
He keeps going.
He also lists Best Shot.
Okay.
Also known as Hoosiers.
Right.
American President.
Okay.
And North by Northwest.
Yeah.
We're really getting a sense of Bob's wide-ranging tastes here.
Yeah.
He seems to appreciate films that explore a variety of themes, from the personal to the political.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to embrace different genres.
Not at all.
And let's not forget, On the Waterfront, Dawn at Socorro, and Douglas Sirk's All That Heaven Allows.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see how Bob's love for, like,
it is
classic Hollywood intersects with his appreciation for more modern films.
Right. He seems to be drawn to stories that resonate across generations.
Yes.
Whether they're set in the past or present.
It's a testament to the enduring power of great storytelling.
Yeah.
A well-crafted story can transcend time and connect with audiences on a deep emotional level.
Regardless of when it was made.
Yeah.
Now, the interviewer also asked Bob which movie character he thought best represented him.
Okay.
Here's where things get really interesting.
I'm ready.
I think we get a clearer picture
of
Bob's personality and values.
Okay. Tell me more.
Well.
Okay. Well, instead of like giving a direct answer, Bob shared that the interviewer compared him to Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. The lawyer who defends a wrongly accused black man in the racially charged South.
Yeah, Atticus Finch.
Yeah.
That's an interesting comparison.
Right?
He's often seen as the moral compass of the story,
Right.
a man of unwavering integrity and courage.
And Bob didn't seem to disagree with
Interesting.
that comparison. He even added that he aspires to have like
Yeah.
the dry wit of Bill Murray
Okay.
in Scrooged, but without the mean streak.
So he wants to be the voice of reason
Yeah.
with a touch of humor.
Yeah.
It seems like Bob is drawn to characters
Yeah.
who possess a strong sense of justice and fairness,
Okay.
but who also approach life with a certain lightness and self-awareness.
Yeah, I get that sense from him.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see
It is.
how those qualities are reflected
Yeah.
in the films and actors that he admires.
Totally.
Right. It's almost as if he's searching
Yeah.
for those qualities in the stories he consumes
Yeah.
as a way to affirm
Yeah.
his own values and beliefs.
It makes you wonder how our own cinematic preferences
Right.
might reflect like our deeper selves.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Now, we've talked about Bob's early influences,
Yeah.
his appreciation for actors,
Right.
his eclectic taste in films.
Mm-hmm.
But his journey doesn't end there.
Okay.
His tastes have continued to evolve over time.
Okay.
He mentioned a shift from Westerns and horror,
Okay.
which were his favorites as a younger man,
Right.
to thrillers,
Okay.
courtroom dramas, and feel-good films.
I was particularly struck by his love for
Yeah.
Douglas Sirk's
Oh,
melodramas,
yeah.
films like All That Heaven Allows
Right.
and Imitation of Life,
Right.
which often dealt with taboo subjects and
Right.
challenged societal norms.
Yeah, it's a fascinating evolution.
It is.
It suggests a growing awareness
Right.
of social issues and a desire for stories that explore complex human relationships
Yeah.
and societal dynamics.
Right.
It's almost as if his taste in film
Yeah.
matured alongside his own worldview.
I agree.
Right.
And speaking of maturing,
Yep.
there's one last anecdote from Bob's interview that I
Yeah.
just have to share.
Okay, I'm ready.
It involves a Martin and Lewis movie,
All right.
three friends,
Okay.
and a near abandonment.
This sounds like a good one.
Oh, it's.
Tell me more.
So picture this.
Okay.
1953, Bob is 12 years old.
12 years old.
Yeah. Okay. His dad has given him money
Okay.
to take three friends
Yeah.
to see Martin Lewis in Scared Stiff.
A classic comedy duo.
Right.
Sounds like a fun outing.
It was, except for poor Alfred.
Oh, no.
As they're walking to the theater, Bob decides to play a little prank on him.
Uh-oh.
I know, right?
Okay.
So he tells Alfred that his dad only gave him enough money
On
for
the.
two friends, so Alfred's gonna have to go home.
Oh, that's a bit mischievous.
It is a little mischievous,
Yeah.
even for a 12-year-old.
For a 12-year-old.
Yeah. But here's the best part.
Okay.
Alfred, without saying a word,
Okay.
just turns around and starts walking back home.
Oh, the silent treatment.
I know.
Sometimes that's even worse
Sometimes it's worse.
than an outburst.
So Bob's about to call him back
Yeah,
when
yeah.
he hears this wild yell
Oh my
by
God.
someone in agony. He turns around
Yeah.
and sees Alfred in the middle of the road,
Yeah.
just staring after them and
Jesus.
bawling his eyes out.
That's both
I
hilarious and
know.
heartbreaking.
It's so
I
good.
can just picture the scene.
It's so vivid.
They quickly brought Alfred back into the fold.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
They all got to see the movie.
Okay, good.
But I bet that's a memory
Yeah.
that stayed with them all these years.
It's a funny story,
It is.
but it highlights those complexities of
Yeah.
childhood friendships
Yeah.
and how even like harmless pranks
Right.
can have unintended consequences.
They can.
Right? It's a good reminder
It
that
is.
empathy and understanding
Yeah.
are crucial,
Yes.
even in our most lighthearted interactions.
I agree.
Now, before we wrap up our deep dive into Bob's cinematic world,
Okay.
I want to touch on how he discovered
Yeah.
Ultimate Movie Rankings.
Okay.
It all started with like this chance encounter online
Okay.
while he was waiting for a taxi to the airport,
Wow.
heading off to Amsterdam for a
Yeah.
holiday, no less.
That's amazing.
He stumbled upon a page
Okay.
about Al Leach's detailed box office grosses.
Okay.
He was particularly fascinated by, like,
yeah,
the inflation-adjusted figures.
That's cool.
Which provided a new perspective on
right.
the financial success of films
yeah.
throughout history.
And that's how his love affair with UMR began.
Right. He was hooked by the wealth of information
yeah.
and the opportunity to connect
right.
with a community of like-minded
yeah.
film enthusiasts.
It's a reminder that a simple spark of curiosity
absolutely,
can yeah. ignite a lifelong passion.
Yeah. In Bob's case,
yeah.
it led him to a community
right.
where he could share his love for film
yeah.
and delve deeper into like the yeah. history and artistry of cinema.
So what does this all mean for you? Yeah. We've gone on this deep dive
we have
into the cinematic world of Bob.
A true movie buff.
An ultimate movie rankings Hall of Famer.
What I find most compelling about Bob's story that yeah. is how it reminds us
yeah.
that our relationship with film is deeply personal.
It really is.
Right? It's yeah. shaped by our experiences,
yeah.
our values,
right.
and our evolving understanding of the world.
Bob's story is unique.
It is.
But the themes it touches on
yeah.
are universal.
They are.
We all have those films
right.
that hold a special place in our hearts.
Yes.
Those actors
yeah.
who captivate our imaginations.
Absolutely.
And those cinematic memories that we cherish.
So as you watch your next movie,
yeah,
consider what it says about you
yeah.
and your own journey
yeah.
through the world of cinema.
What stories are you drawn to?
Yeah, what characters resonate with you?
And how do your cinematic preferences reflect your own values and beliefs?
It's a fascinating question.
It is. Until next time, happy watching.